Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I'm going to talk to you today about something I think Christians ought to know and understand. I want to remind you that next Friday, October 31st, is Halloween, and you know, a lot of people are confused if Christians should celebrate that or not. And I debated if I would talk about this topic because I thought, well, that's not very inspirational, but I want you to know by the end of the sermon, you can be inspired because Jesus Christ is still in charge. Today I want to ask the question, who in hell is Satan? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 from the New Living Translation says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." As I said, Friday, October 31st, is Halloween. Satanists think that Halloween is Satan's birthday, but I want you to know Satan did not have a birthday. He was created. People will celebrate with zombie parades and haunted houses and graveyards and all kinds of ghoulish things. And I want to say how very inspiring that is. Yay, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate death. Halloween is a day dedicated to Satan, demons, witches, death, and evil. Where does a Christian fit into that? To celebrate that stuff would be like celebrating, hey, whoopee, I have cancer. There's nothing to celebrate, and there's nothing redeeming about it. We should know what it's about and why Christians should avoid celebrating it. Satan offers death. Jesus Christ offers life. Deuteronomy 30:15 says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster." Jeremiah 21:8 says, "Tell all the people, this is what the Lord says, take your choice of life or death." And I have in my mind a picture of a life stream going versus a death stream, and I can choose which one I want to take. As Christians, it's imperative to know who our enemy is. So I want to look at who is Satan, or who Satan is, and how he works, how he's organized, and how to combat him. The church is the only army in the world that doesn't want to know what its enemy is doing. Who in hell is Satan? That's the question. Satan and his demons are not co-equal with God. God is omniscient, meaning all-knowing. God is omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful. And God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. So I can know that today I'm here in Sun Valley, Arizona, but God is also with my family down in Anthem, and he's also with the missionaries over in Africa because God is omnipresent. Now, Satan is not. Satan is not omniscient, he is not omnipotent, and he is not omnipresent. Satan is a created being with a free will who rebelled against God. He can tempt you with evil, but he cannot force you to do evil. The comedian Flip Wilson used to say, "Oh, you know, a devil made me do it." But he had it wrong, because the devil can't make you do anything you don't want to do. Satan is a thief. He is a liar. John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. John 8:44 says he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. His original name was Lucifer. He was an archangel and was magnificent, intelligent, probably the most beautiful of God's creation. He was perfect. He was the worship leader in heaven. He led worship around the throne of God. As an archangel, Lucifer had authority over other angels. But because he was so beautiful and so talented, pride caused his fall. He convinced himself he was so great that he deserved to be worshipped instead of God. He organized rebellion in heaven. He tried to overthrow God. Isaiah 14:12-17 says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth and made the kingdoms of the world tremble? Is this the one who destroyed the world and made it into a wasteland? Is this the king who demolished the world's greatest cities and had no mercy on his prisoners? Satan introduced sin to the universe, resulting in his eviction from heaven. Revelation 12:9 says, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Satan introduced sin to man. He disguised himself as a serpent in the Garden of Eden, and you know the story. He came out, he tempted Eve and Adam. By the way, Adam was there. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat a fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And Eve should never have had a discussion with the devil. He planted doubt as to what God actually told her. She should have rebuked him in the name of Jesus Christ and not listened. We should never listen to Satan either. He is a master at twisting what God has said and will help you rationalize why you should yield to his temptations. When a temptation comes, resist it. A temptation is when Satan says, will you do something? And the sin comes when you say, yes, I will. So if he's tempting you, resist him, rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ so that you can maintain victory in your soul. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Satan still has access to the throne of God. Job chapter 1 verse 6 says, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. Job chapter 2 verse 1 says, one day the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. He's the accuser of the brethren. He no longer lives in heaven, but he still has access to petition God. But I want you to know that will soon end. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 says, then the angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand making accusations against Judah. But you know, soon Satan won't have access to the throne of God. Praise God. Revelation chapter 12:12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. Today, we have to contend with him. Since Satan isn't omnipresent, he has organized his demons, or the fallen angels that followed him in the rebellion in heaven were cast out to earth. He's organized them into a spiritual hierarchy. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We are at war. This war is against satanic forces, and your eternal soul is at risk. You are the battleground. Every person is personally engaged in this battle. You are either a captive and a servant of Satan, or you're a captive and a servant of Jesus Christ. I want you to know there is no middle ground. I hear people say, well, I just haven't made a decision. I'm just trying to stay neutral. There is no neutral in this battle. You're on one side or on the other. Satan has created strongholds that we must break. Sagagalala is the principality over the Columbia Gorge that I fought with when we were up there in Stevenson, Washington. Kokopelli is a fertility deity. He's usually depicted as a humpback flute player, often with feathers or antenna-like protrusions on his head, who is venerated by some Native American cultures in the southwestern United States. You've probably seen these things of this little guy running around with a flute. That's a demon. Satan has strongholds and principalities over Arizona, even where you live. Until we pray and wage spiritual warfare, we will see few victories. Too many Christians don't see the need for prayer in these areas. Paul called Satan the god of this age. The world is under Satan's power at the moment. Satan is the commander of the powers of the unseen world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 said, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Christians pretend that the devil doesn't exist, or he's just a cartoon character in a long red underwear suit clinging to a pitchfork. The world knows different. People serve Satan because they think he's going to give them power, and they all lust for power. He's a rough taskmaster. He does not love. In fact, he cannot love. I was in the deliverance ministry for about 10 years, and when I would meet with these various people that had been in witchcraft, I say, why did you go in that? And they said, because we were promised that we would have power. We were promised we would have all the sex or all the money or whatever that we wanted. But Satan has been such a rough taskmaster. He's made us so miserable. Satan destroys his own. All he can offer is death and destruction. Man, what fun to celebrate death and destruction. His special holiday is based on horror. Halloween will see hundreds of human sacrifices between October 28th and October 31st. When I was in heavy spiritual warfare, I talked to a sheriff's department one time, and they estimated there would be more than 50,000 human sacrifices each year as the witches tried to get power by sacrificing people to death. I want you to know that the witches also count abortion as human sacrifice. And that's one of the things we need to understand. When people get an abortion, many times it's because they're trying to offer a sacrifice to Satan to get power. Why would anyone follow such a fiend? Witches think Halloween is Satan's birthday. Halloween has caught up to and surpassed Christmas in the commercial world. And trick or treat, you know, we got to get all this treats and candy for these kids. It originated with the Druids. Kids' fun today wasn't fun in the time of the Druids. It was a night of sheer terror. Druids went from castle to castle and serf to serf playing trick or treat. The treat they demanded was a virgin for sexual molestation and then human sacrifice. If the treat pleased them, they'd leave a jack-o'-lantern lighted with a candle made of human fat to protect those inside the castle from demonic attack. When the demons saw that, they would leave that group alone. If a household didn't meet the druid's demands, it was time for the trick. A hex or a hexagram was drawn on the door, and that night demons would attack and kill someone in that home through fear. The spellbinding beat of the druid music filled the night as the ceremony began. The men sexually assaulted their victims, and then they brutally sacrificed her. Let me say that again. The men sexually assaulted their victim, then brutally sacrificed her. They believed the spirits of the dead people roamed the streets and must be appeased with some kind of a treat. And so costumes and jack-o'-lanterns were supposed to scare evil spirits away. Satan's a rough taskmaster. He even destroys his followers. He's a liar. He cannot speak the truth. Whatever he promises you, he cannot deliver because he cannot speak the truth. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert, for watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." His constant use of violence and deceit requires his followers to show courage and extreme vigilance. James said in James 4:7, "So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Well, the question comes, how can we resist the devil if we don't know who he is and what he's doing? The world thinks Satan is just as powerful as Jesus is, that we're working with two very powerful kingdoms. Well, absolutely not so. Satan is a defeated foe. He's stronger than you or I are, but he's been defeated by Jesus Christ. Satanic forces were defeated through the atoning life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Colossians 2:13-15 said, "You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." You need to know Satan cannot read your thoughts. Only God knows your thoughts. Satan cannot know the specific future. I mean, if he could have known the future, would he have crucified Jesus Christ, seeing what had happened, how God got the victory over him? Satan and his demons are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Satan's going to hell, not to rule, but to burn. And I say, praise God. And when the Antichrist and the false prophet and then Satan are thrown in the lake of fire, I want to be lakeside leading cheers saying, praise God Almighty. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. 1 John 3:8 says, "But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." The cross was total victory over Satan. Listen again to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. "In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Christ's victory sets us free from sin and guilt. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 said, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Satan accuses us before God and petitions our destruction. You know, if some bratty kid constantly caused trouble accusing your child to you, how would you side? Well, God sides with his children too. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life. He's the biggest loser in history, and he's bound for hell, and you don't need to join him there. Satan cannot defeat you unless you let him. Ecclesiastes 10:8, according to King James Version, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So people say, well, what's the harm of Halloween? It's just kind of a fun night where we all dress up. Halloween is a dangerous day. It's focused on violence and death. Millions of people are exposed to almost endless string of TV programs and videos and communities and churches activities that glorify mutilation, torture, and bizarre murders. This is Halloween. Before you say, well, it won't hurt them, it's just fantasy, consider what a horrified mother discovered in her teenage son's diary. She read where he wrote, excuse me, last year I stole a car at Halloween and ran over a kid and killed him for the devil. I plan on doing it again this year. That boy is now in prison. Halloween is harmful because it focuses on violence and evil. What a paradox. We read of a violent murder any other time during the year, and we gasp, but how could that be? But we laugh, tease, call it fun, and glorify the same things when Halloween comes. Halloween's focus on violence tears down the inhibitions of children toward murder. It's hard to separate fantasy from fact. That's taking its toll in society. Another reason Halloween is harmful is because it emphasizes fear. Haunted house fun could become a nightmare for kids. Oh, we say it's just for fun. You know that. But to a young child, a trip through a harmful house, a haunted house, could be a nightmare fear. No joke. You know, fear is a powerful, off-putting, damaging emotion. Fear can open the door to demonic oppression, or worse. Somebody's going to say, Pastor, you're an old fogey. No, I'm not. I've worked with people who were caught up in Satanism, and I know what goes on. My question is, why would you expose a child or anybody to such traumatizing influences? They serve no useful purpose. In fact, long-lasting emotional problems can develop as a result of a frightening experience where you encounter something at Halloween with the activity, such as going through a haunted house. Halloween is harmful because it focuses on the occult, the things of Satan. Because it can open doorways to demonic problems, it's best just to be left alone. If your kids want candy, go buy them some candy. You know, because it can open doorways for demons to enter. You don't want to host demons. You want the peace of Jesus Christ. Well, somebody's going to say, how can I achieve that peace? Realize that God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. So realize that God loves you. Then recognize that you can't be saved from sin by your own good works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5 said he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So far we have recognized, you know, that or realized that you're a sinner, recognized that you can't save yourself. Now you need to admit that you're a sinner separated from God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you recognize and admit this, now it's time to repent. Luke 13:3-5 says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew up them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. So what you need to do is call upon Christ, believing that he died for your sins. He arose from the dead. Romans 10, 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have courage. God is stronger than Satan, and you, if you know Christ as your Savior, are on the winning side. Matthew 10, 28 says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Satan wants your worship. But, you know, I have chosen to worship the real ruler and hero of the universe, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to rule with him forever while Satan burns in hell forever. I don't want to be with Satan. I want to be with the Lord. Today, Satan and his followers are celebrating mayhem and death. I've chosen to celebrate life and life more abundantly. Listen to Deuteronomy 30, 15. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Why choose death? Today, we celebrate life and hope that Jesus provides for us. He's rescued us from the darkness and hell and has provided forgiveness of sin, love, joy, peace, and the assurance of eternal life with him in heaven. It should not be a hard choice for you to decide which direction you want to go. Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to come and live with you in heaven. You said that you are the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through you. And Lord, there's so much evil this next week, so many things happening. Help our Christians to discern what's going on. Lord, I pray that you'll protect them, protect the children, and somehow, Lord, that we might glorify your name. There's so much darkness. Let our light shine, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I would remind you, if you want to get in touch with me, you can write to me, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or if you want to get in touch with me through my Gmail, it's lowercase revwmwwoods@gmail.com. You can text me, you can call me, whatever you need to do. By the way, I do have just ordered a new shipment of the books that I wrote, There Is Still Power in the Blood. If you would like to have one, contact me. I'm going to just charge what I pay for them, $11.50. But I would sure love to sell you one of these books that exposes who Satan is and the things that Satan has planned for those who he can get to follow him. God bless you. And take it easy. Don't get sucked up in the activities of darkness.